I always find this Sunday quite a peculiar one, because we've sort of leapt from the Christmas story, the wise men last week, almost, well, just under 30 years, to Jesus' baptism. It's quite a jump, isn't it? And the bits in between seem to have vanished for the moment. And one of the challenges, as always, is sort of saying, just like Christmas, is what do we do? And how do we understand some of these well-known stories? And I'm still very much, part of me, still floating around Christmas. And it's partly, well, say Epiphany, from your wise men. And it's partly, she says, losing a piece of paper. And of course, it's completely now, but minor details. But last week, we sang at St. Lawrence's, sort of a Christmas hymn, which I haven't come across before. But it's got some lovely words, and in many ways it reminds us just how Jesus, when he came, almost turned the world upside down. Who would think that what was needed to transform and save the earth might not be a plan or army, proud in purpose, proved in worth? Who would think, despite derision, that a child should lead the way? God surprises earth of heaven, coming here on Christmas Day. God surprises earth with heaven, coming here on Christmas Day. And God still carries on, doesn't he? Surprising earth with heaven. And our ears and our eyes need to be open to that. And for John the Baptist, his role was very much to point the way for Jesus, to prepare the way. And Jesus must have been an amazing... Sorry, I'll tell you, I'm getting confused with J's now. So as long as I don't add John to it, I should be okay. But John must have been a very powerful speaker. And if we look back over the years, there have always been people that God has called, hasn't there, to actually challenge, to change places, to help people to respond to the message of God's love. But we're told that so many were coming to John to be baptized because of his message. A message that would change the world, or help to. And like everything, isn't it? It's that bit. When we see somebody full of the Spirit, who's pointing the way to Jesus, who almost feels prophetic, we sort of think, what's going on here? And for the people of Israel, who was expecting the Messiah, some had already seen and realised that in that baby, Jesus was the Messiah, the Saviour. But John was actually telling them and challenging them, saying he wasn't, but they had to get ready. They had to be prepared. For many of them, they had to change their lifestyles. And that is always a challenge, isn't it? Even to us today, about changing lifestyles. I don't know about you, but most of the time I just think I'm hunky-dory, I'm okay. But every so often, God's fingers point and sort of say, hang on, what about that? Or somebody else makes a comment, and I think, oh, really? Perhaps I need to do something about it. But John was telling them, the people, that actually, to really show that they repented, turned around, that they had to change their life. Little things, perhaps major, but if they had two cloaks, to give one away. If you had too much food, give some away. And also to live out their lives in a way that respected other people. So the tax collectors should only be collecting what was the due and not becoming rich on it. The soldiers had a role, but they could do it with dignity and respect for the people they were dealing with. And that is quite a challenge, isn't it? And then it leads to that major question for me. Why did Jesus have to be baptised? I don't know how many of you can actually remember your baptism. Some of you can. I can, because it was a cold January night. And I think it was a Monday. And it's only because of the where the family were. Because for each of us, coming to the baptism, coming to confirmation, coming to that and saying that, yes, I truly want to sign up and be part of God's family, is different for each one of us. And for me, I just blame my parents. Because my brother was baptised as an infant, I wasn't. For the very simple reason that my parents didn't believe in godparents. Because they thought, what's the point when people are likely to be travelling around the country and losing contact? But that's what they came from. But what it did do for me was to really make me think about. No, I tell a lie actually. It didn't really make me think. It was a confirmation that followed that made me really think. And I guess a lot of us can remember our confirmation. But often it's good to go back and think about those key moments. What was Jesus saying to us at those moments? Where was the Holy Spirit? And that's a fascinating thing here, isn't it? And I hadn't realised before. Because you hear it, I don't know, sometimes the stories you know well are the ones you interpret how you think they should be, not what's actually said there. And I would guess that Jesus had gone to be baptised because everybody else was heading that way. They had recognised there was a movement of wanting to respond to God. A recognition that's been that being part of it, identifying with us. God came down at Christmas and a baby turned the world upside down. But Jesus identified in his real life, in his life, with us. And what I love, it just says, and one day, in one version, or in the version we heard, when all the people were being baptised, Jesus was baptised too. This is Luke's version. And I think most of us have this image, don't we, of Jesus being baptised and the dove coming down. I don't know. But it actually says in Luke, Jesus was baptised too, and as he was praying, heaven was opened. And Jesus' life was rooted in prayer. Our lives need to be rooted in prayer. That is when we are truly linked to God with that relationship. And at that moment, as Jesus was praying, we're told that the heaven opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." But Jesus at that moment with that affirmation that he was loved by God. He was God's son. And the Spirit would be with him throughout his ministry. Now for some of us, that realisation happens like that. For others, it's a moment of time. But for each one of us, we need to know that we are loved by God. We are special to him. He has called us to bring glory to his name. And sometimes we forget that, don't we? We actually forget that it's actually all about God, all about Jesus. Sometimes I include myself I just think it's all about me. All about us. But that links us back into that lovely passage in Isaiah. We're reminded of God's love for his people, the Israelites. That whatever they went through, he was there for them. Whatever we go through, whatever journey God is taking us on, he is going to be there alongside us. He's redeemed us. He's called each one of us by name, in the same way of that special moment for Jesus when he was baptized. That affirmation. So we need to really grasp and believe that we've been called by our name. Because we, each one of us, is precious in God's sight, honoured by God, and loved by him. And I just love that bit about called by name. But he knows me, he knows you. And I don't know you, but you probably recognise every so often I just say, and so-and-so, and over there, and over there. Because I've forgotten their name. I'm very good at forgetting names. But names are important, aren't they? Because whether we like the name our parents gave us or not, it is still us, I only one. And that name is mine. It's made me, in some ways, who I am. And it's a name I share with people who I know, who know me. And they'll call me by my name. And hopefully I'll remember their name to call them by their name. But names are special. They're unique to us. And God knows each one of us. He calls us by name. And we need to hang on to that. But even when we think that nobody else cares for us, that everything's gone wrong, God still calls us by name and knows us. And we're told that we are precious to him. Because again, so often, even coming to church sometimes, we can feel very alone. And we feel like that when we come to church. Think how many people who live in our community are also sensing that. But we're not, because we're precious in God's sight. He honours us, he loves us, he calls us by name. But as for Jesus' baptism, that was a starting point, an affirmation. He was praying towards the beginning of his ministry. There's still a bit of way to go. And God calls us. Jesus' ministry was about God turning the world upside down in a new way. We need to do that. But we also need to remember that it's not about us. It's about God. It's about bringing God's glory to send that him to everyone. And in that science of reading, we read that he created us for his glory. Isn't it amazing, really, just how great God's love is for each individual of us? And we need to respond to that love by worshipping him, by bringing him glory in all that we do and say. And the key to that is remembering our calling in baptism, in confirmation. And in prayer, each day, each moment that we have, so that we really, truly bring glory to God. Amen.